much more in hearing what you have to say than anybody else would be interested in hearing what I have to say. So I'm going to just try to provide questions to keep you going. How did you get started in baseball? You were born in Riverdale, I know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I presume you got your start here. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to high school down at Fayetteville. And during the summer months, they had Flint River League. They had Jonesboro and Fayetteville, Fab, and all those clubs in it. So I played in that. And back in 1931, I guess it was. Well, before that, really. I don't know where you ever knew Tubby Walton. I ever heard of Tubby Walton? Old Kid Everfield.
Yes.
Kid Everfield. they ran a baseball school in 1931 here in Atlanta, and some of the fellas that played on the Jonesboro team, they went up there to the school and told Kid Everfield and them about me playing against him, but I hit the federal, and so Kid Everfield and contacted me and wanted me to come to the school. So that's how I got started. Went to their school, and so Kid Everfield at that particular time, he lived in Chattanooga, and he after the thing was over with, he took me back to his home in Chattanooga. I worked out with the Chattanooga Lookouts. That's how I got started in 1931.
I recall you did well with the Lookouts team in the 350s. That
particular year, I stayed around there after the season started, but I had a choice of either sitting on the bench or they'd send me up to amateur team, semi-pro team up in Tennessee, Newport, Tennessee. And I told them, as long as they paid me, I'd rather go up there and play. So I went up there and played them sometime in August. And they called me back in August. And I finished out that year. Played 32 there, Chattanooga. Then I played part of 33. I was called up to Washington 33. So I was in Chattanooga. Two and a half years, rolling to Washington 1933. And I was Washington's men on. That's the only team I ever played with.
Well, Joe Cronin was the shortstop at that time. And
right.
Did you play third base that 1933 year?
Well, 1933, that's the year they won the pennant. I was in Chattanooga at that particular time, and it happened, I guess about a month and a half into the season. All the infielders and utility people, all of them got hurt. So they rushed and called me up there. And I went up and I played, I guess, about a month and a half of the season until they got well. Then they sent me back to Chattanooga. Then I went back up there again in September. And that's the year they won the pennant. But I wasn't eligible to play in the series because I think it still had that same rule that you have to be on the roster 1st of September. I think it still had that.
I think that's right.
Same rule. So I wasn't eligible to play, but I played quite a few games. I played in 33 then, men on. I was there through 1947. I retired in 47. I missed 4 years in the service. So that's just the way it was.
Well, 1934, I see you were with the team for 109 games. That's most of the season,
yeah.
Certainly. And
I was there the whole year. In other words, Blue was the third baseman that takes the time, you know. And so.
He was your manager later, too.
Cronin first.
He was traded after the Boston 33, wasn't he?
That's right, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And Bucky Harris came over there. Mm-hmm. played under Bucky Harris, Joe Cronin, and Bluegill. Three managers I played under, in other words. Under Bucky Harris, the longest. He was there a long time while I was there.
You had a remarkable career, and you played with some really quite some great players. I'd like to talk a little bit about your career first, if we could, and then,
okay.
then ask you about some of those people with whom you work. The thing that struck me, certainly, going over all of your record, is that if it had not been for the war, I think you would be in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
have you given that any thought? Has anybody mentioned that to you?
That hadn't worried me at all. No, it hadn't worried me at all about that, but probably would have, you know, a better chance. Really, I think last year, I got two or three clippings, people that sent me, you know, the old timers that go into the Hall of Fame, you know. I think they said they said in that thing they didn't list them exactly how they were, but they had my name in the 11, the last 11 that was voted last year, but didn't any of the old timers get in last year? So I don't mean no, I hadn't because I figured there's a lot of them probably as good as I was, you know, back in those days that don't get any recognition, you know, particularly now, you know.
Well, your lifetime average of 314 is certainly
it was
Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, falling in the service, it was, you know, really good.
I noticed something else about your record, and I was wanting to ask you about it. For example, in 1934, you may not remember this, you walked 24 times and struck out 37 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in 1935, the numbers almost exactly reversed and stayed that way. In other words, considerably more walks than strikeouts. What happened? Did you get some sort of a new idea, the strike zone? Did somebody say something to you that improved?
I was, you know, as you start and play, that way you get more confidence and everything too, and you learn what the strike zone is, you know, more so, you know, what the umpires are calling and the pitches and everything else. You know, more experience you have, you know, the better and things like that.
Well, say when you had an 0-2 pitch, was there something in particular that you might look for? Did you have any?
Not particular. I don't know. That's one thing. Now I say I never guess like they're talking about. I usually just tried to hit what I saw. You know, I mean, and that's one reason I didn't ever strike out. I mean, too much. I mean, far as an average, like a lot of people do, because I didn't ever look for any kind of certain pitch and. I waited late to hit, too, you know. In other words, I wasn't a long, long ball hitter and things like that. I could wait, you know, wait longer than a lot of people on the thing. So.
I read a couple of things about you, and I'll be interested in your reaction to them. Tommy Henry has said this. He said that he asked Red Ruffing about you once. He said, Ruffing said that we pitched Travis fastball, so he'd only get a single left. If we threw him a changeup, it'd be a triple to right.
Well, I don't know about that, but I did hit a lot of balls to the left. You see, actually, that's where I got, for the first few years, that's where I got most all of them. Then they started playing you. They'd pitch you to make you hit that way, you know, then they'd play you over there. So you have to learn how to hit then, maybe a little different, you know, because you got to find out which way that. Pitching, you know. So that's the way I'd go.
You were involved in the, I guess only in one year you were on the All-Star team in 1941.
I was on three times.
Three of them?
Three of them.
What were the other two?
I don't know. I'd have to look about it. I think it seemed like it was about 39 maybe and another. And I don't know. I got the baseball, big baseball book.
Did the baseball encyclopedia?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got the total baseball, which is similar, but it doesn't have that particular. I'm going to guess that it was 37, 38, and 41, because you did pretty well in the most valuable player voting in those 2 years as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it might have been. I mean, it's three times. I went to once in Detroit, and one was, let's see, I think it's in Cincinnati, and I believe the other one seemed like it was St. Louis. Well, I don't know.
St. Louis was 41, I think. And there's still people talking about the slide that you made in the 9th inning.
That was Detroit. I remember that. That was when Williams hit that home run and won the thing up on top of the Briggs Stadium at that particular time.
I think he said that I don't know how much inspiration Ted Williams needs, but I think he said that your slide in the second
broke up a double play.
Helped to inspire him.
Broke up a double play, I think, to keep from making a double play. It would have ended something. In that particular game. Yeah, that was the last when I played in that sport in 41.
Well, you mentioned playing in those different parks. What was your favorite park to play in?
If I had a Detroit. Oh, that was a good.
That was on Maven Field?
Briggs Stadium, they called it. You know, they changed the name, I think, two or three times. Yeah, it's Briggs Stadium. Back in those days, yeah, it was a good park. You could see the ball good and everything. Yeah, there's certain parks you like better. You could see it better. Yankee Stadium now is always seems to be a fairly tough park to shatter and stuff there. You know, stands are way high and you get in those shadows sometimes. Certain times of the day and.
What was your least favorite part?
Well, I don't know. Really and truly, I mean, I've never thought, you know, of any. Any that I didn't like. So, like, a lot of people asked you about the hitters, pitches, and things like that, and I always figured when I was hitting, I could hit any of them. And when I wasn't, most of them could get me out. That's what I always, the way I figured it. That's the way it always was. If I was hitting, I'd hit the good ones, too. If you're in a little slump, you know most of any of them would get you out. I didn't ever, you know, worry about any of them, you know. If you do, you're whipped if you start to worry about it.
Well, what about Griffin Stadium?
It was good. That's a good part. It didn't very many of the parks make any difference because I wasn't that the long ball hitter, you know, long fly ball hitters, you know. Well, if you hit line drives or hitting through the infield, it really doesn't make too much difference. It's these long ball hitters, you know, getting these long parks and different things that might affect them.
Well, what about having an infield? Did any of the ballparks have an infield that you thought was particularly was rough, was a problem, or one that where the ball just seemed to come up nice and easy to you?
No, right off hand. Now, I mean, I don't remember particularly. You know, didn't like to play on certain fields on account that might be rougher than others. No, I didn't ever have any preference really, as far as I know right now. That's been a long time, so I might have had then.
You mentioned those managers for whom you played, Joe Cronin, Bucky Harris, and Ossie.
Blugie.
Thank you. I've wondered how to pronounce his name, and I didn't know until this evening.
Yeah, he died. Let's see. I guess it's been. We still. Right at Christmas time to his wife. She's out in Minnesota. This has been dead 2 or 3 years, I think.
I was thinking 85, but yeah. Fairly recently.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a lot of the opposing managers are famous names, too. Steve O'Neill, Joe McCarthy.
Oh, yeah,
Rogers Hornsby.
You see, all of them. Just about all the older players, different things when I started out, managers and all, they done passed on because I started when I was young and they were on up, you know, like 10 years. Some of them 10 years older than I was, or maybe more, they was finishing up.
And you had some interesting coaches as well on the Senators. Nick Altrock.
Forever,
it seems like.
Al Shaq. Oh, yeah.
Clyde Malan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all, that's what I say. All those old fellas back there. Yeah, I ain't, as I say, it's been a long time. I ain't got to play against Babe Ruth, you see.
That's right.
33, you see, before he. That was his last year. He went over to, I believe, Boston that way. He finished 30.
Boston Braves.
Yeah. So I go way back there.
Did you ever see Walter Johnson pitch? Did he ever come to the Washington Park?
Oh, he was managing Cleveland when I started. Oh, yeah, he pitched batting practice. All in. Yeah, I've seen him throw batting practice. Yeah, I knew him well. I mean, I've seen him around for years after he quit. Yeah, he still could sling that thing, sort of slinger, you know, sidearm, easing, and everything.
I've heard that for about 5 or 6 pitches, he would be as fast as ever. Is that right? And how
well,
fast
he,
was it?
Yeah, he could still throw good, that's what I said. Because he, as I say, he used to pitch bad and practice a lot over there when he was managing. Yeah.
Let's see. You, a couple people in particular who were your teammates I'd like to ask you about.
Okay.
One person whom I suspect is one of the most unrecognized great players in the game is Harlan Cliff. He played third base when
well,
he was shortstop.
He was over St. Louis, third baseman over there. But I think after, I don't know, maybe might have been when I was in the service or after I quit one. I think he was at Washington a little while. No, I wasn't. Yeah, he's a good third baseman. He was over at St. Louis third baseman.
All right, excuse me.
He and one's in the soap office now. Shortstop was Bernardino.
Johnny
Bernardino.
Right.
You see, he was third baseman. Johnny Bernardino played then, so he's on the soap opera. Been on there all those years. You know, he quit baseball and then it.
Was Rick Farrell catching when you were?
Yeah, Rick was us for quite a while. Yeah, Rick and even his brother Wes, you know, came over there for a while.
Was Wes Farrell as good a hitting pitcher as there was?
Yeah, and he was a good pitcher. He's never got in there.
I don't
all,
think he's in the
No, all no he's not. Everybody got, that's right now. You know, about five years in a row, he won about 20-25 games. In other words, he's got the same. I've looked it up in the thing a lot of times. He's got as good a record for the number of years, I think, as Dizzy Dean had. And they never mentioned him. See, that's what I'm talking about back in those days. It's a lot of them in there. There's better ball players than that you see now that you don't get anything. Never heard of them. Maybe some of them played 15 or 20 years.
Well, George Case, fine player, and probably as good a base stealer as there was.
Yeah, George, fine person. Yeah, we were pretty close to him. And his son, you know, has come out with that. George used to take pictures all the time, spring training and everything. Yeah, and see, he died. Let's see, I guess it's been about like 2 or 3 years ago. George died. And his son has made a, what do they call them now, that you cassette thing, like you can throw them on the...
Oh, the video cassette?
Video cassette. And it happened to be, and he's selling them now. And a friend of mine here had gotten one, and they came over here last year and showed it him. He showed back. A lot of spring trainings and games, you know. That's all the way. Yeah, George. Oh, yeah, he's a nice person along with.
And he said, Mr. Case said that when he came up, you were just about the only person who took him under his wing and was really friendly to him. He had very fond memories of you.
Well, I tell you, it used to be, it was time when I went up there, all the particular things, and then, like the old players, they all sort of stuck together, and it's sort of tough for a young one to get in there. It's a few would, you know, pay some attention or something to you, but it was a lot of that back in those days. You know, it started hard. But,
I thought the young ones were after their jobs?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the older players, and you had to finish stuff or something, and some of them didn't like it. It was.
Well, who was the second baseman that you worked with? Buddy Meyer was one of them.
Buddy was there. For quite a while. I went over. You see, I played third. You see, until Buddy Lewis came up, and he started playing third, and I switched over to short and played. Then, and George Myatt was there part of the time, and Jerry Pretty, he came over from the Yankees. Those Yankees, I think they came up from, it was Kansas City somewhere, same time as Rizzuto and him was over there, but Pretty came on over with us because they had Joe Gordon and everything that particular time.
And were these the Hall of Fame outfielders? They were probably about the end of their career, I'm guessing. When you came out, Heinie Manush,
Goose Gosselin,
and Al Simmons.
Yeah, I played with all of them. They were good ball players too. Yeah. Sam Wright, all those fellas. It was a bunch of them. Old Washington had a good old club back in there. Joe Judge, Joe Kuehl, he came on after Joe Judge finished up.
Well, those two were particularly good fielding first base.
Both were good. Gosh, yeah. Good hitters too. Really. I guess Kuehl, he probably had an average probably all the years. He played probably maybe 290 or something. Judge, I imagine, is up there. But you know, back then, if you didn't hit 300, you wasn't counting nothing. Because Bludgeon, he was one of the best fielding infielders I've ever seen. I mean, third baseman or anything else. They always saying he was a good fielder, but he couldn't hit. I wasn't a good hit. Well, I think in the whole thing, I think he had a 260, a 70, and good gosh, now if you hit the 270, they say what a hitter.
They'll throw many at you too.
Yeah, that's right. So it's different now.
What players, if any, today, do you think could have made it back in the 30s? And the game is
it'd be hard to compare, but to me, just like anything else, if you could play, if it was a good player and could play then, play now, and the same way now, if you're a good player, you could probably play it, but everything, like you say, is changed, so, everything, it's just... It's hard to, try to compare.
Do you follow baseball much? Do you get the games here in Atlanta or watch them on TV?
Oh, yeah, I have season tickets, but last couple of years I've just about quit going. I think I went either once or twice last year. But yeah, I've had season tickets. Even season tickets. Oh, yeah, I've got a lifetime season tickets. But now it's much easier to look at it on TV than try to go run up there all the time.
You worked for a person who was a legend, and I'm particularly interested in finding out some things about Clark Griffith. I've heard and read not just different stories, but conflicting stories, and I'd be very interested in your perspective. I've heard. Some people say that he was very tight-fisted.
Well, yeah, he had to be. He didn't have the money to throw away like they're doing now. In other words, he ran it as a business. In other words, he you couldn't those days you couldn't pay in salaries if you didn't draw that. That's why you got your money. You know, they get out of TV now. You know.
Was Washington one of the smaller franchises?
Well, yeah, as far as drawing, I mean, really and truly. Well, yeah, he was tough. He was tough. You had to produce. And you had to produce and have one good year and right after another. And if you got any kind of raises at all, and you were paid for the year back, no paying ahead of time like they get now. You get paid for the last year. If you had a good year, you might get a little raise. And if you had a bad year, I guarantee you're going the other way.
You heard about that. You heard about it if you had a bad year.
Yes, sir.
But I presume that if you did produce, he took care of people. For example, Mr. Blue Jay was with the Senators his entire career, some 30 years or so.
Oh, yeah. He followed them on out to, you know, Minnesota.
And there were others, I
oh,
think,
oh, yeah.
The same way.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. There's a lot of them, and there was the coaches and different things after the tried. Yeah, he just couldn't afford it. He was tough, man. I mean, I say you had to produce. Yeah, he knew what was going on. I mean, I liked him, but he was tough to get money.
Do you have any particular incidents that you remember that would illustrate either of those sides of Mr. Griffin? In other words, being tight with the dollar or being generous with
people? I think he was generous enough for what he was, the money he was taking in. And I think he helped around in Washington, you know, giving money and things that way. Oh, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, he was a great fellow. Shoot, I've many times was invited out to his home and things. He would talk to you, call you up in the office. As you come into the ballpark, he had an office then, chat with you and different things.
About what they think?
Baseball, in other words, things.
About what was going on at the time?
Well, oh, he's there with game. He's there with game. He knew what was going on. I mean, I liked it.
Player, manager, owner,
yeah.
Hall of Fame, and on any of those counts. I think he was the first person to win an American League pennant in 1901.
Right. I really don't know.
Remarkable.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, he was all right.
1941 was your best year as a hitter. No question of that. I'm not sure that a shortstop has ever hit higher than 359 in a season.
That
might be a record.
I really don't know.
I guess Lou Gehrig did 380 something one time.
He led the league, I think.
And then I'll bet you're 359 comes in second. Well, that's 50 years ago this season.
My average before I went in the service, I think for shortstop was the second highest of all any shortstop, you know, for the number of years. That particular time, as I said, I came back and I imagine probably third or fourth now of all the shortstops. Maybe, I don't know for sure, 314, I don't know how many as a lifetime average of more than that.
There's certainly not many.
No.
Sure, that Hannes Wagner, and it might be Hannes Wagner and you. That's pretty good company.
I think Vaughn, shortstop, I think he had, seemed like 320 something. And I think I had, before I went into service, pretty close to 330 or something. And I believe he would be second. I don't know. It might probably somebody else. I don't know for sure. I really have never paid any attention or looked it up.
You went into the service after that 41 season.
Yeah.
And you went into the Army. Is that right?
Yeah.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
No, I was drafted. I was in Yale 4 years, like three months. I mean.
And then you were in the Battle of the Bulge. Is that correct?
Well, we followed right along behind. Behind. They just had the battle and we was just right following right on in there, you know, until the thing was over with.
And were your feet injured at that time?
I got froze. A couple of toes. You know, being out in the cold, where you stand, no such thing as heat, you know. Stay in barns, wherever you could, you know, stay. But I've never blamed that on, you know, what happened, you know, after I came back, you know, couldn't get going, anything. I never, because I don't know that had anything to do with it. You lose a lot of your time and something. I mean, that's your main thing anyway, and some way or another, I probably lost a lot of it. You know, I hadn't played in the ball last year before I got out of service. I played some first, you know, couple of years. Played down here at Camp Wheeling. We went to semi-pro thing 1 year out in Wichita.
While you were in the service?
Oh, yeah. Then we went on. The first 2 years, I played some. I was in special service down there, 401 overseas.
40, after the war, you played 3 seasons. One of them was pretty full, and then I think you became a scout for the Senators. Is that correct?
Yeah, fiddling around. Yeah, you know, back in those days, they had the bidding things, you know, around. So I fiddled around for a while, and I just finally got out of it all together.
What did you do after you got out of baseball?
Well, I just retired, you know.
Retired from here?
Oh, yeah. Well,
is this your family's property?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had four and some odd acres here one time. Yeah. I used to keep a few cattle. I still keep a few cattle or something. Oh, yeah. Have some, you know, keep something to do.
I noticed that little lake out in front there, is that stocked with fish?
Oh, yeah, all of them.
I was guessing it was.
Oh, yeah. I've got big lakes back down this other way down. I've got a couple of fairly small, you know, one of them about 4 acres, another one about 3. I've got one back down here, I guess about 12, and it, the son built him a log house on it. His drive comes in from 314. I got my drive, it goes all the way through the farm, all the way through and comes out on 314, so he comes in the other way down there. He's got him a log house down there on that little farm.
Oh, beautiful area.
So we still got about 65 acres. Yeah, my brother over at the old home place is over there on 314, he still has about 20 some odd acres. Then around you, a lot of these places I've sold to, I've sold some of them 3 acre lots and some of them 5 acres. Another place over there where I lived before I built in, there's about 25 acres in it. So we still got a pretty good place here. I know we're surrounded by subdivisions and things now, but we got, I guess, 150 acres or maybe more than that around. We sort of keep special, you know. I mean, you know, trying to keep it looking halfway decent around me.
Could you describe for me your batting stance?
Oh, I don't know as I can. In other words, well, really, we always just hit where I felt comfortable. You know, some you might have different stance, but you know, get up the plate and feel good. That's the way I hit. You know, and you probably have different stance against different pitchers, a left hand or a right hand. And yeah, I know I always stood closer to the plate on a left hand than I would have maybe a right hand. But you really get comfortable up there. You know, you feel good and loose and comfortable. So I changed around quite a bit. I didn't ever have one certain particular thing. I, all through my years I played, you know, hit a certain way, maybe being in the oval. I know I have been over part of the hit and spread your feet out sometime and hit. Sometimes you have them closer together and you face the pitcher different ways. So a lot of times it depends on who's pitching and things. After you learn the pitches, you know what maybe they're going to try. Pitch you inside, outside, different things. So you have to always change the range.
You said you stood closer to the plate usually for a left hand. Does that reach the curve a little bit better?
Well, I really don't know, but I always did. I know might be that maybe you're pulling away a little bit more for left hand. The left hand, maybe you have a tendency to pull away from the plate. Well, and if you was out falling, if you pulled a little, your bat wouldn't reach the outside, you know, or something in case. I think that will probably be the best answer for it, maybe.
Who was the best hitter in those years? Who do you think was the best hitter in the American League?
Oh, it's hard to tell. I tell you, DiMaggio and Williams, I think Williams was one of the best I've ever seen. DiMaggio, they're sort of different type hitters, you know. DiMaggio spread out and hit more of a line, I think, than Williams. He rhythm over wrist hitter, you know. But both of them were good. Very good. It'd be hard to tell, but the Williams, I might say he was one of the best. I, between him and DiMaggio, they were pretty close.
That's one from the right side and the other from the left side.
Mm-hmm.
What was the best fielding play you remember seeing?
Fielding?
Mm-hmm. What? Best fielding play.
I really can't, you know, think of, pick out any particular, you know, one at the moment. Been so darn long. There's some good infielders and outfielders that put on a show for you sometimes.
What was the hardest infield play for you to make? What gave you the most trouble? Or you had to work the hardest to do well?
Well, I think when you're playing short, probably your hardest play for most any shortstop is going deep in the hole behind third base. You got that long. I would think that'd be your hardest play when you're playing short. Third base might be your bunt sometime. You know, I mean, you knowing where to play in or back. But I say the shortstop is that long, the deep throw. You got to have a pretty good arm, you know, to go in there and throw them out.
Did you play different hitters differently?
Oh yeah.
Such as?
Well, some of them they pull hitters, and you play. If you're playing short, you play over, and that depends a lot on too how the pitcher is going to pitch. And also, shortstop and second baseman, you can see the signs from the catcher, and you know where's the curveball or baseball is being thrown to, and you don't move after you see that, but you have a tendency if he's a pull hitter, he's a right hand hitter. Most likely, he's going to pull it towards third, you know, if it's a slow ball or something like that. So that's how the shortstop and second baseman, they can, and usually, shortstop or second baseman. They let the third baseman and sometimes first baseman know what it is too, you know, but certain word or something from the don't know what's being pitched.
Were there as many signs given by coaches in those days as you think there are now?
All that stuff,
yeah.
All that stuff they go
yeah.
through. Not all that stuff they go through now. I don't think. No, it's not that. not that much.
Was hit, take, bunt, hit and run.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty simple. A lot of times it's really left up to you. It depending on what kind of hitter you are and different things. A lot of times you hit and run with another person. It's left up to you between you and the runner. You know, and sometimes the manager might want to send a hit and run or something, you know.
Would you then signal the runner in some way that you were going to do the hit and run?
You'd have to have a sign with all the hitters ahead of you, certain things that you did maybe on the bat or something, and let him know. Yeah, mm-hmm. You had to do that.
What special efforts did you make to work out a double play when you were practicing double plays with your second baseman? Can you discuss that? Describe that? How you worked on those?
That's the thing about the shortstop and second baseman playing together for a long time. It's a little tough. You got to know if you're playing short how the second baseman comes across the bag of where he wants to throw, you know, the throw, and everybody is different. That's when you see two sometimes play together a long time. It's automatically comes.
And I suppose some second baseman would be easier to deal with than others. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Who is the second baseman you would most like to turn a double play with? Who seems the easiest?
Well, in my days, probably would maybe Buddy Meyer, because he was older than I was, and he played it a lot. You know, he knew how to do it.
You mentioned earlier about something I know about spring training. Where do the Senators do their spring training? What kind of conditioning did you do in the off season?
I used to be a big hunter. I was in as good a shape when spring training started. I was ready. I didn't have no weight to lose. I know nothing. I'd hunt 4 or 5 days a week.
On the farm here.
Oh yeah, we had all. There wasn't no houses, nothing around you then. Walk for miles back in there, rabbit hunt, do whatever kind of hunting you wanted to. Just get out, walk, had your dogs, and go shoot. I never went to spring training overweight or nothing. I was in shape.
Was sprint training then basically a case of getting your timing back?
Oh, yeah. Be sore for a week. You know, things maybe you hadn't used, but I ain't fall with spring training. I'd work out around here because sometimes it got warm enough. I'd throw balls. Shoot, I could go to spring training. I was able to, you know, start right off. Some of them don't do it. These days, I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame with all the money there.
You expect
back in those days, you'd better be in shape. Somebody beat you out of a job or something. They wouldn't fiddle around with you back then.
Where did the Senators full spring training?
Orlando.
Did you go down there and take a train and play back? What?
Down there?
Yeah.
That's a lot of time. I used to drive down drive down there most of the time, and when we'd break camp, a lot of times we played in Atlanta or something. If not, they'd let me off a day, and I'd come a day ahead and drive the car back, then I'd travel with them, you know, the rest of the way back up.
Who did the team play on the way back? Did they come back up with another team, or did they play local?
Sometimes they'd play another big league club, most of the time. They went and played at different places. Stopped sometime, Macon, Atlanta, different places around, you know, not too far on the way back north.
Who were the best pitchers on the Senators?
Well, when I first went up there, now, you know, they had Earl, Whitehill, and let's see who else.
The General.
Crowder. Uh-huh. Yeah, Crowder. They had Stewart. And then later on, you know, had Dutch Leonard. All those fellows after that. Early Wynn, Sid Hudson,
Bobo Newsom was on. Newsom.